right, saints, here we go with another message from the Word of God. Wanted to take this occasion to say God bless you and thank you to all of you who are praying for the fruitfulness of this ministry outreach and supporting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Recently, a Calvinist told me that, quote, free will is a new concept, unquote. Is that true? Is free will a new concept? Well, not at all. All the way back 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden, the first man and woman obviously had freedom of choice because they chose to sin against God. That alone is an ultimate nail in the coffin of Calvinism and their idea that man does not have the freedom to choose. Call it whatever you will. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. The book of Joshua was written 3,500 years ago. So hardly is this a new concept. God sovereignly gave man free will. It is a absolute clear biblical observation. Notice 1 Corinthians 9:17, Paul writes, for if I do this willingly, notice the word willingly, if denotes choice, condition, for if I do this thing willingly, obviously Paul had his own free will, if you will, I have a reward. But if against my will, even Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. So we all have, and we're created by God with a free will, a will to choose. That simply means a will that can choose right or wrong, good or evil. So Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9:17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. If I willingly obey God, he's going to reward me good for it. But if against my will, notice my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So clearly Paul had the ability to exercise his will in the right or the wrong way. But Calvinism teaches that you have no will, you are a robot, a puppet. That's what John Calvin called it, and so cannot obey what God commanded you to do. That is, beginning with repent. Calvinism is a diabolical system of blasphemy that contradicts and impugns the Lord on every front. Repent is the first command of the original gospel, is essential to salvation, and is the duty of, quote, all men everywhere, unquote, according to Acts chapter 17, verse 30, where God says that he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The Almighty would never command men to do something they don't have the will and ability, privilege to do. That's more than obvious. Brother Stacy Strother writes this. Calvinism, he says, Calvinism mandates the creation of puppets and robots. God Almighty wants to be genuinely loved and served out of a free will, not slave-driven and forced to serve with resentment, unquote. And that is so true. Love is not love unless it's free to love or not to love. It's not forced. According to Scripture, God gives every man the choice. In fact, it's his will that none should perish and that we would choose him. Remember, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Notice, choose. If man doesn't have the ability to choose, doesn't have free will of choice, then why would God be telling man to choose you this day whom you will serve? Recently, I quoted that to a Calvinist, and the only thing he could come up with was, that's the Old Testament. As if God has changed, I'd say, well, the Bible in the New Testament tells us whatsoever things were written aforetime, that is, in the Old Testament scripture, were written for our learning.
That we, through patience and comfort
of the scriptures, might have hope. You'll notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and 4, that the unbelief of the children of Israel in the wilderness limited God, limited the Holy One of Israel, according to Psalm 78. 41. So their choice of unbelief instead of faith limited the Holy One of Israel, and therefore they circulated in the desert for 40 years. Now, God also sent 12 spies into the land in the book of Joshua, or was it Numbers 13 and 14, actually? And two of them chose to believe God, that he had given them the land, but the other 10 did not. Let's talk about choice there. They all had the choice, and God punished and kept out of the promised land the 10 that chose unbelief instead of faith and what God had already told them, that he had given them the land. And the book of Hebrews extensively speaks about this unbelief, this choice not to believe what God said. In the 3rd and 4th chapters, I highly recommend that you get into Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Let's read a little bit of that on the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, obviously in his sovereignty as defined by scripture only, not by Calvinism. God gives men the choice. Notice Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, he's talking to all believers, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. He goes down in verse 6, speaking of Moses and the days of Israel with Moses, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. There it is. Final salvation is when and as we abide in Christ to the end, endure to the end, and we're going to be saved into eternal glory. Wherefore, verse 7, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, they proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now there it is. We have people today that don't take God at his word, and they will never enter into eternal rest, but rather eternal torment, because they chose to exercise their will in unbelief instead of faith. The Bible tells us in this very book, Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. And that statement is no better defined as by what we read in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Again, I want you to study those, pore over those two chapters, and make them a place of learning for yourself and your own life to choose to trust God, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Notice chapter 3, verse 12 of Hebrews. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Notice, just like the children of Israel departed from the living God in this context, out of an evil heart, brethren today. Notice, New Testament brethren. Remember, this is written to holy brethren. There's no two churches. There's only one church made up of Jews and Gentiles, Ephesians 2. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, because the Bible told you there's only one new man, one body of Christ made up of Jews and Gentiles, all who have come to Christ in repentance and faith and have a relationship with him. Take heed, brethren. Brethren, that's you and I, if we're born again, lest there be in any of you, brethren, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, if such weren't possible for us as brethren to have an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God, why would this Bible verse be right here in the New Testament? It wouldn't. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So all of these things can happen to New Testament believers. And therefore, we must exhort one another in the faith daily so that our hearts do not become hardened and through the deceitfulness of sin we fall away. Notice verse 14. By the way, falling away is possible. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 4:1 that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They shall leave the faith. You have to be in the faith in order to be able to depart from it, obviously. Also, Jesus said there would be those who believed for a while. That means they were saved. Jesus said they believed, and Jesus Jesus also said, he that believeth hath everlasting life, John 6:47. So Jesus says in Luke 8:13, there would be those who believe for a little while and in time of temptation fall away. Don't say that they never believe, because Jesus said they did believe, then they fell away. Also confirming this is that you can't fall away from something you're not on, you're not in, you don't possess. That would be ludicrous. That's a false interpretation. Well, they were never saved. Of course they were saved. Jesus said they believed. And then how would they fall away if they didn't have something to fall away from? They wouldn't. So all of Calvinism, all of once saved, always saved, the false doctrine of eternal security and perseverance of the saints is shattered with this simple truth in the scriptures. That's why we must read the word of God and live by it and no other doctrine. Because there are many systems of doctrine posing as being Christian that are not. And you're not going to know the difference unless you study to show your own self approved. Under God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God gave you the ability to choose, not only initially when you received him and were born of God, John 1:12-13, but also ongoing. You must abide in Christ. You must remain in continue in Christ, which will always be proven by the good fruit, John 15:1-6. And then he says, if you don't abide, you don't remain and continue in me, you're going to be thrown into the fire, broken off and thrown into the fire, John 15:6. Also, we're warned by the same apostle, I believe that's writing Hebrews 3 here, the apostle Paul, that if you don't continue in the goodness and severity of God, you, like the Jews, are going to be cut off. The Jews had free will. These were God's people. And so do you. God has not changed in that regard. And he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You must choose. No man, Jesus said, can serve two masters. And also that Moses said that I set before you, God told Moses, and he spoke, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed will live. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. We are told and exhorted by God to choose life. Some will and some won't. And that alone, as is the case with the children of Israel and how some did and some didn't, some believed and some didn't believe, that is clear evidence of the exercise of their will. Notice Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called the day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. This is the same thing Jesus taught when he said you must endure to the end to be saved. He told his own disciples that. That applies to all New Testament believers. Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:13. Don't let anybody fool you. Not only did Jesus teach it, all of his apostles and all of the writers of the New Testament taught it. There is not enough time on this audio, even if we made it 24 hours, to go through all of the scriptures concerning the doctrine of Christ, the apostles' doctrine, as we read in Acts 2:42. What is that? That's simply the doctrine of Christ taught by and spread to the world, first and foremost, through his apostles. There's so many volumes of scripture concerning initial salvation and final salvation, which you never hear in the modern church. The absolute condition, the requirement of God, that those that are saved endure to the end. You must hold the beginning of your confidence, the beginning of your faith, your initial salvation, where you received Christ, steadfast unto the end, right here. Hebrews 3:14-15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, where God judged those who refused to believe. Now, in the chapter 4 here, we're just given like a thumbnail sketch here of the third and fourth chapters of Hebrews. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, that's heaven, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, why would that be in the Bible if there weren't a possibility of people coming short of eternal rest? I mean, to believe that you're automatically going to go to heaven because you were once born again is ludicrous. It goes against all of Scripture. You are required to choose to remain in a relationship with Christ on his terms. That's why you should read his terms daily and nourish your heart with them and obey them, and that is the terms given to us from Genesis to Revelation. Read it for yourself. yourself. A lot of people don't want to endorse sound doctrine, so they run to people that are going to tell them what they want to hear because they're not willing to truly repent, lay down their life, and follow Christ on his terms, allowing the sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God to circumcise their hearts daily. They're not enduring sound doctrine or holding themselves accountable to what the Word says. They want some other way that doesn't require them to truly repent and change and lay down their life in this fleeting world. Those are conditions. True faith always produces a laid down, crucified life. It's not saving faith if it doesn't. Jesus said to follow him, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear this kind of preaching. They run from people that actually teach the Bible. They don't want anything to do with it because they don't love the Lord. That's what it all boils down to. They're full of self. They love themselves. They don't love the Lord. That's why people run to Calvinism and eternal security teachers. Those are the grace-perverting wolves that Jude warned us about, the ungodly men who are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness or a license for sin. There's no doubt that every one of us has stumbled. Every one of us has sinned after we've been saved. But there's two kind of people, those who find reason to justify their sin by adapting to these false theologies, as I just mentioned, Calvinism, eternal security, etc. And there are those who get honest with God and they say, Lord, that was a sin, not because I feel like it, but because you said it was in your word. And therefore, I confess it and ask you to cleanse me and cause me to be crucified with you, dead and buried, and raised up in your grace to live holy and pleasing to you, O Father, in Jesus' name. So there are those that cover their sin and there are those that confess their sin. That's the difference. And those that are confessing their sin, falling upon the mercy of God afresh, crying out to Jesus and fasting and prayer and the crucified life, enduring affliction, striving against it, those are the wayfaring saints that are enduring to the end, who will be with Christ in eternal glory. Notice Proverbs 28:13 says just that. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Notice, whoever confesses and forsakes their sin will have mercy. Again, we got to do it on God's terms. I encourage you to memorize Proverbs 28:13. Notice here, Hebrews 4:2. We're going to finish here. For unto us was the gospel preached as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They're still talking about the example of the children of Israel. Some people want to say, well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, guess what? And Paul talked about it throughout the New Testament and applied it to us directly. It already applies because it's God's word. But in particular, even more so, we should understand that in that Paul in Romans 11:19 through 23, for example, he warns us and uses the Jews, God's own people. He says, look, they were cut off. They were cut off for their unbelief, for their rebellion. And if you don't continue in the goodness and severity of God, you also shall be cut off. So don't be high-minded. Again, Romans 11:19 through 22. Read that. And if you believe it, you can't believe these lying devils who are trying to tell you that you're unconditionally eternally secure. Of course, they're never going to go to that passage and many, many mountains of other passages that say otherwise. See, they're running a game on you and you're allowing it. If you don't love the truth of God, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:9 through 12, you're going to be sent by God a strong delusion. So that you do believe those lies and you're going to be damned. Those are all the words, deceived, deluded, and damned. They're all in there. And God's going to send you that strong delusion. Today is a day to hear his voice in repentance and to lay down your life and follow Christ. And when you do, you're going to face his word for what it says and stop glossing it over, crassly ignoring it, or throwing it out because you don't like it. You must endure to the end. In order to endure to the end, you must endure sound doctrine. You must hold yourself accountable to sound doctrines. 2 Timothy 4:2-4. So he says, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, that is the Israelites, God's people in the Old Testament, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You must mix the word of God with faith. You must be a doer, James 1:22, of the word of God. You must embrace what God says and run with it. Trust in the Lord who spoke to you through his word, right? With all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen. Verse 3, Hebrews 4, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, his own people, I mean the Israelites, entered not in because of unbelief. That's why they weren't able to enter in. God requires faith. Unbelief is rebellion. It's an evil heart that has unbelief, according to what we just read in Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. Verse 7, Hebrews 4. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus, that means Joshua here, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. See, when we lay down our lives, when we truly repent, we're going to rest from doing our own things. We're going to be resting in the Lord himself. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, the same example, the same thing that got the Jews in the desert for 40 years on like what's called like an 11-day trip, I believe it is, something like that. Some very quick trip. God caused them to be turned over to strong delusion because of their own unbelief, and they couldn't get to the promised land because of their own unbelief. There's somebody listening to me that's been going around in the desert of life and hasn't been able to enter into a place of rest with the Lord, a oneness, a interpenetration of his spirit with you through a oneness, as Jesus prayed for in John 17, an abiding fellowship with him. And it's because of unbelief. And so you must repent of unbelief. God says unbelief is coming out of an evil heart, and it will damn you. In the third chapter here, read Hebrews 3 and 4, and that should bring us to swift repentance. Let me read it again as we close Hebrews 3, 12 through 14 or 15. Take heed, therefore, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. Notice evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. When you have an evil heart, when you have unbelief in your heart, you're departing from a living God. You have done spite unto the Spirit of grace. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You must endure to the end. You must abide, remain in Christ on his terms. Notice verse 15, and finally in this passage, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, that is, when his own people provoked him to anger by their unbelief, and therefore were sent strong delusion, were judged for such. So we do have free will as given by God. We have the ability to choose, and God is calling us to hear his voice, to harden not our hearts, but to trust him in all our ways. Again, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And Hebrews 4:11, once again, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Fight the good fight of faith, folks. Fight the good fight of faith. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus so that you will not fall after the same example of unbelief and judgment that followed on the Israelites. Labor to enter into the rest of God. Rest in the Lord. Trust him with all your heart, and always remember that without faith, without trusting God, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Again, please read the whole book of Hebrews and take close note to the third and fourth chapters concerning faith versus unbelief, and notice that we have a throne of grace to go before, as Christ has provided through his perfect blood, his blood sacrifice, his precious blood. He's now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, which we read about in the end of that passage, that the fourth chapter. We can come boldly, confidently, based on the blood of Jesus, and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, beloved. beloved, wear a path to that throne of grace. Continue to go there and live there. Amen. Crying out to God for grace and mercy upon your life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.